First Thessalonians chapter 5, of course you'll have to keep your Bibles open this morning because the Bible is our textbook. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Man, weren't we blessed during the missions conference? Well, that was a tremendous conference, tremendous preaching. Brother King made it safely back to Houston where he got a couple of days to visit with his daughter, flew to Rochester, New York, preached for a friend of ours, Brother Dave Dunbar, last night in their Beast Feast, their annual get-together where they empty their freezers of the wild game they got. And five men got saved last night, which is tremendous, yeah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's begin reading with verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So that's an interesting statement. It's an interesting sign, if you will, of the proximity of that day of the Lord when they shall say, peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them. So what you have now going on, and has been for a long time, but what you really have going on is you have the prophets, the media, politicians worldwide, ecumenical churches, saying the same thing, and that is they're trying to arrive at peace, all right? And they are prophesying, if you will, that we're going to have peace now or soon. So when they have treaties between nations that have gone to war, they call those peace treaties. The funny thing is, it usually means that the next war is going to be worse than the one they just ceased. But that's what they say. And so people get used to hearing that in churches around the world for this particular day. You've actually had people that are praying for world peace. And you have people with bumper stickers on their cars, and there's a peace symbol on there, and they want peace. All right, so the Lord says, when they say peace and safety, that is, we've done it. Things are safe now, we have peace now, that's when sudden destruction comes. Well, what is that all about? Well, let's go through the Bible and we'll just start walking through the Bible here, there, and we'll see how it unfolds. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. And we'll see how it unfolds. The Bible is a tremendous book. It contains truth throughout, and when you go from here to there and you see what this prophet said or what this apostle wrote or whatever, you can begin to put things together. How many of you, by the way, Jeremiah chapter 23, have ever worked on your own vehicle and needed to consult the book? Huh? Okay, did you ever notice that if you're trying to fix something, there's something about it in this chapter, but you have to go over here to get something else about it in that chapter, and the part is over here in that chapter? Well, the Bible is not different than that. You go here, there, and so forth, and you can put all the pieces together. Jeremiah chapter 23, look at verse 16. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. So what he said, don't listen to that noise out there. They make you vain. They speak a vision, listen, of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Do you understand that these prophets in Jeremiah's day who were prophesying that Judah would have peace were prophesying out of their own heart, verse 16, a vision of their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. These that were prophesying that you shall have peace, in verse 17, despise me, he says. And they walk after the imagination of their own heart. Look in Jeremiah chapter 23, you're there, in verse 29. The Lord says, he said, they're not talking to you out of my mouth, they're talking to you out of their mouth. Is not my word, verse 29, like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord. That, what are the next three words? Steal my words. They take my words and then use them for their own imagination, for their own vain thoughts, to tell you something that's not true. They steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, the Lord says, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy, what kind of dreams? False dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. So what you have is you have a continual conversation. You have a continual stream of thinking that somehow or another, by political means, by globalism, by some two-state solution, whatever negotiated in the United Nations, by all the churches getting together, whatever their line is, they're stealing my words to say that you'll have peace when you do that. But he said, you're not going to have peace. You're not going to do that. That's not what I said. That's what you're saying. Look in Jeremiah chapter 14. All of this that you're reading actually went on in Jeremiah's day. And there were prophets in Jeremiah's day who were prophesying peace when Babylon was at the gate getting ready to destroy the place. All the houses were burned. The wall was taken down. The temple was burned. All the gold, silver, and brass was taken. And most of the people were killed, and those who weren't killed, except for the poor people who stayed to dress the vines, were taken captive back to Babylon. And so there were people in the city that were believing the lies of the prophets rather than the word of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, You shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and a deceit of their own heart. Now that's what you have going on worldwide today concerning somehow we're going to get a peaceful solution. In Israel, it is the same lie that was told in the day when Nebuchadnezzar was about to decimate Judah and remove them from the country. When you have this, the competing narrative, God, who said, this is how it's going to happen, and all these prophets who say, this is how it's going to happen, you know what God does? He assists the false prophets in their narrative. He's already written down to us. We've been reading in the last four or five Sunday school lessons what God said about, right, Israel and how things are going to go. We know what he said. When they start lying and the world wants to believe what they have to say, you know what God does? God steps in and actually helps the narrative. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's like, okay, if you don't want to believe what I said, then I'm just going to help you believe what they said. Oh, that's, I'll tell you what, that causes me to fear God, to think that he would fan the flame of their falsehood, just so if you didn't want to believe what he had to say, you'd be more inclined to believe what they say. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. We're talking about the Antichrist who comes in verse 9 after the working of Satan. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So they had the truth there. They received not the love of the truth. Verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It goes on to some other things. That's a scary thing right there. You know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. I'm telling you, that causes my bones to tremble to think you wanted to believe what they were saying rather than what I said. Well, I'll just help the cause along and send you strong delusion so you'll believe that lie. What kind of God is that? The God is, I told you, I wrote it down, I want you to believe it. When you choose not to believe it, then I'm just going to help, I'm going to help you with the lie you're trying to believe. You say, God wouldn't do that. 1 Kings chapter 22. You say, God wouldn't do that. He already has. 1 Kings chapter 22. I didn't stay in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 very long for a reason. That's actually going to be our text this morning in the sermon. We'll spend a little more time on that passage of Scripture, but you noticed there, did you not? God said, you don't want to believe the truth, you don't want to love the truth, all right, I'll send you strong delusion. Whoa. All right, 1 Kings chapter 22 is probably a very familiar passage to you, but in case it's not, this is a time when Ahab decided, he's the king of the 10 northern tribes, that he's going to go to Ramoth-Gilead and he is going to recover some land that he lost in a battle against the king of Syria. And he doesn't want to go into this battle alone. He has brought Jehoshaphat in so that he can have those soldiers as well. And together they'll go in and fight at Ramoth-Gilead with the intent of defeating the Syrians, getting them out of the occupation of the land and then recovering that land for themselves. So Ahab has prophets, and Jezebel, his wife, has prophets. There are 450 prophets of Baal. There are 400 prophets of Jezebel. And so he gets the prophets together to prophesy whether or not he is going to succeed in the battle at Ramoth-Gilead. Verse 6, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 6. The king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? So it's a straight up and down question. Yes, go. No, don't go. It's just yes or no. And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Sounds like a pep rally. They might as well have had pep pom-poms, and yoo-hoo, we're going to win. So the king is all, excited about the prospect of victory because the prophets have said, you go and the Lord is going to deliver it in the hand of the king. Jehoshaphat, he's looking at this situation and he's like, something here doesn't sound right. Is there a prophet of the Lord around here? And there is a prophet named Micaiah. Ahab said, I don't want him. I don't like him. He never says anything good about me. Jehoshaphat, don't let that bother you. Let's sit down. Let's hear what he has to say. Verse 17, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. What does that mean? That means they're all scattered out there and the king has died. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. In other words, Ahab, you can go into this battle, you're going to die, and they're coming home. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat in verse 18, Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And Micaiah said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Now that's something the other 400 prophets have never seen. and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another said on that matter. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said unto him in verse 22, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a what kind of spirit? Oh my. Coming from the Lord, a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. And therefore, behold, the Lord, not the devil, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Yeah, the Lord, he can do this. He can do this. He's always going to tell the truth, but he can help you believe the lie. Isn't that a scary thought? You say, well, how would I defend myself against that? Believe the truth. All right, so now Micaiah has spoken the truth. Now the 400 prophets have spoken the lie. Who do you think Ahab chose to follow? If you said the 400 prophets, you get the Starbucks gift card. Wherever it is and whoever has it. Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. You see, the Bible is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, according to Hebrews chapter 4. And the Lord knows whether you're using the Bible, believing the Bible, not believing the Bible, what your attitude is. He knows that when you come to him with your questions. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up the idols in their heart. Well, the world has an idol in their heart that they, without God, can bring priests to the Middle East and somehow or another allow Palestinians to live next door to Jews, and the Palestinians won't go across the street to kill the Jews. They believe somehow or another they can accomplish that. Or at least they say they do. So these men have set up the idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face, should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart because they are estranged from me through their idols. So they come in there and they say, Lord, what should we do? And he sets the trap and they walk right into it. You know what it's like? It's like putting corn in a big hog trap. And the hogs come in and they're like, oh, this is so good, this is so good. They don't have any idea. One day he's just going to shut the door and they're all trapped. And this is exactly what the Lord does. They have idols in their heart. He knows. He told them not to go to idolatry, but to believe his words. They keep walking in there until they believe they can accomplish these things. And then, bam! The door shuts, and they're trapped. Verse 7, for every one of the house of Israel, of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. You see it? Who deceived? You say, oh, the devil. You know, so the devil a lot of times gets blamed for things that God's actually doing. I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity, the punishment of the prophet shall even be as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Do you know what the determinate counsel of God was concerning Jesus Christ? That he would be crucified. And what did those Pharisees do? They propagated a lie and said he's a deceiver. You know why? Because they didn't believe the truth. You don't believe the truth, you set yourself up then, you don't know if it is you or the devil or God, but one of them will lead you astray. And all of them can participate together and you'll be in trouble. That's what happened to Ahab. You know what happened to him? He went into the battle, right? There was a soldier that drew a bow at a victory. He was disguised. They didn't know where he was. They knew that Jehoshaphat was there. They just about killed him. He was wearing his king's robes. And when he shouted, they realized, well, this isn't Ahab. They let him alone. And some guy just, it's just like taking a rifle, just to see what happens. Right between the shoulder blades and killed him. You know, when the Antichrist shows up, you realize there's going to be an Antichrist? Okay. When the Antichrist shows up, they, the world, they, the Jews, are going to believe that he's the Messiah. Let me ask you a question. Has their Messiah already come? Yeah. Does he have a name? His name is Jesus Christ. He's already been here. He's already paid for their sins. He's already reconciled them as enemies to God so that one day the remnant after this horrible tribulation, the whole nation will be saved of those that remain. But they don't believe that. If you talk to, we had that great missionary encouragement. If you know Jewish people, speak to them about the Lord. If you've ever done that, that's not a very easy thing. And we should, but it's not a very easy thing. But when the Antichrist shows up, they're going to, there he is. Hey, our Messiah is here. They didn't like the one that they had, but they're going to like this one. And why is that? Daniel chapter 8. Next book, you're in Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 8. Why is that? Well, because he's going to be toting the party line. He's going to go along with what they've been looking for. He's going to sound like the answer to the dilemma. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. We're not reading the entire context here, and you may say, well, I wonder if he just pulled that rabbit out of his hat or if it's really there. Well, when you're done with this, the notes will be online. Go back and read the context, and you're going to see that this person we're reading about now is the Antichrist to come. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full. People said, our world is getting worse and worse and worse, more and more sin, more and more. Well, it's not full. We're not full yet. The tank is filling, but when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. So he's going to have some help from the devil. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Now, who might that be? Yeah, that's going to be the Jews. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by what method? Peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the Prince of Princes, and whom might that be? That's Jesus Christ. How is he going to destroy many? By what means? By the very party line that they are propagating with their false prophecies every morning and every night, every day of every week in every year till he comes. Isn't that amazing? And so when he comes by peace, he destroys a few. He destroys many, many in verse 25. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. Verse 21. Here we are talking about him again. Daniel 11, 21. And in his estate shall stand up. What kind of person? A vile person. You know, the types of affections that are going on today, you know, where the rainbow flag flies, right? The types of affections that are going on today are called vile affections. This is a vile person. You know what that means? He's ungodly and the world loves it. They're taking pleasure in vile affections today. He's going to be their man. So stand up, a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. What is that? He's just telling them what they want to hear. See, the trap is already set. And he's just going to tell them what they want to hear. Now, don't leave Daniel chapter 11. Keep your finger here, but we'll run over to Revelation chapter 6 real quick. Revelation chapter 6, and then we'll come back to Daniel chapter 11. You just want to see a cross-reference to what's going on here. Daniel, in Revelation chapter 6, you're beginning to see the seals open of the various stages of the tribulation. First seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, like that, are opening, and John is seeing something. And the first seal opens in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. I saw and behold a white horse. All right, well, the guy that comes into town wearing the white hat on a white stallion is usually the good guy. He comes in on a white horse. He sat on him, had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. Well, that looks like that might be Christ, but it's not. When he comes, he has many crowns on his head. And this guy has a bow. I'm just wondering, he's a vile person, right? And we know what the vile affections are. Is he flying the rainbow flag? What is that bow? It says about him that he will not regard women. Anyway, God sat him on a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's interesting. Conquering and to conquer. But, you know, when he's coming in, he's coming in peaceably. When he's coming in, he's destroying many by peace. Let's see if this guy is conquering by peace. Verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat on the throne, to do what? To take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. So whoever came in the first seal, there's peace in the earth. When the second one comes, he takes the peace. Sounds like the same guy. Okay, let's go back to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11, verse 23. And after the league made with him, you know, they used to call the United Nations the what of nations? The League of Nations. After the league made with him, how many leagues have been made with terrorists over there that have resulted in war? After the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. That's not surprising. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter, how? Peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. He's working deceitfully and he's working peaceably. Verse 27. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. Every peace process, every accord, every summit has been nothing but warring parties sitting across the table from each other, lying to each other. Every time. Speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be, at the time appointed, verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So somebody is understanding what's going on, but not many. He will corrupt by flatteries. Again, don't lose your place. We're going to come back to Daniel chapter 11 right here where we left off, but I want you to go over and look at two other passages so you understand what you're reading here by cross-reference. Turn with me to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. He's coming in peaceably. He's speaking flatteries, but when he sits at the table to make a league, he's lying. Okay? So what is that? Psalm 28, verse 3. Here's what it is. Psalm 28, verse 3. Who's writing this psalm? If you have the little superscript above the psalm, you'll know this is a psalm of David. David has good insights into these matters. He was an excellent king. Psalm 28, verse 3. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which, next two words, speak peace. To whom? Their neighbors. But mischief is in their hearts. So when you've had Egyptians or you've had PLO or, right, come to the table, they're speaking peace to their neighbors, right? But mischief is in their hearts. So you have to know what's in their heart to know what they're going to do. You can't listen to what they're saying because they're lying. It's flattery. A flattery is a lie to make you believe something good about yourself that's not true if it's directed toward you. Psalm 120. Let's see it one more time. Psalm 120, verses 6 and 7. I mean, this is what, I mean, just thinking right now, just think about a Jew who's living in Israel right now, and next door there in the West Bank or Palestinians living next door. Psalm 120, verse 6, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. That's what's going on all day and all night. Oh, we're going to go over here and get Hamas. You know what's going to happen now? I think there'll be a sanction of some sort or some pressure applied by the United States, by the UK, by the United Nations, somebody to tell Israel, you got to call it off on this thing with Hamas. You need to stop and back up. And if you've captured any land in the process, you need to give all that back so your neighbors can live next door to you and continue to make war with you while you talk about peace. That's what you've been watching since the 40s, 1940s. And nothing has changed. And it's all in the Bible. And if you had believed the truth, you never would have believed one of those summits, one of those accords, one of those peace treaties, none of it, because it's all a lie. Every single time. How are we doing? Yeah, okay. You get more, listen, you get more international news from the pulpit than you do from any internet site that you go to, or any newspaper you read, or any magazine you read. This is what's going on. Okay, go back to Daniel chapter 11. We left off at verse 32, where he's there corrupting by flatteries. Watch. Once he has convinced the Jews that he means peace, and he will. Once he has convinced the Jews, they want it. That's the idol in their heart. They want peace there without Jesus Christ. That's what they want. They don't want Jesus Christ ruling. They don't want the Bible. They want their Judaism. They want their secular humanism. They don't want this. They want what they got, and they want peace. And so he's going to offer them peace according to the idol of their heart. And God's going to be right there assisting with the delusion. And they're going to be, we finally have our man. And what happens, verse 33, they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet, because there'll be some telling them, don't do this, don't do this, you got the wrong guy. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame and by captivity and by spoil many days. Adolf Hitler once again, but now sitting chief among them. That's exactly how sword, flame, captivity, spoil. That's exactly how Nazi Germany did it to him in the Holocaust. And how much did they learn by that? Nothing. Nothing. Verse 39, just so you'll know that the Bible knew what they were going to be doing. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. Allah maybe? And he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. That's what they're doing. That's what they've been doing ever since they've started talking about this with the Balfour Declaration. How to divide the land for gain. Israel had to give back everything it took from Egypt after, what was that, the 1967 war? You know, the land they gave back is the land that has all that oil in it for gain. It's here, bro. It's in here. It's not in the newspaper. It's here. It's not in the Jerusalem Post. It's in the book. This is what's going on. This is the truth. Isaiah 48, verse 22. Isaiah 48, verse 22. And if you decide not to believe it, God said, that's fine. I'll help you. I'll help you in your unbelief. I don't want God helping me to believe a lie. Isaiah 48, verse 22. There is how much peace? No peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked. You cannot do it. There's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Any way you try this without going His way, you lose. I'm going to show you how it's all going to wind up. We're going to contrast as we end this two passages of Scripture. Because this is how it's going to happen. This is what's getting ready to go. And I'm going to contrast the two, and you're going to see it's going to take Jesus in Jerusalem at Mount Zion to solve the problem. And nothing else will work. Joel chapter 3, so you're in Isaiah, you've already been to Ezekiel, after Ezekiel is Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 3. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 3. Here is what's going to happen in the future. This will happen first, what you're going to read right here. And it says to proclaim this in Joel chapter 3, verse 9. It says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. That's what you guys are. Well, now we're the church of God. We got saved out of it. Okay, but we're now proclaiming this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. So don't demilitarize. You got to get ready. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Okay, verse 10. Make sure you get the order here. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves, United Nations Assembly. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. You read that in the book of Revelation. The Lord also shall roar out of where? Boy, they hate Zionism if they hate anything. And utter his voice from where? Jerusalem. He's coming. and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Who's going to be the hope of His people? Who's going to be the strength of the children of Israel? The L-O-R-D. So shall you know that I am the Lord, not that guy that flattered you, your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then, and only then, shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. That'll be the end of crossing the border to blow up people and blow up buses and kidnap. Only then. And before that, war. Got it? Okay, let's read one more passage. Now you'll see the contrast between Joel 3 and Isaiah chapter 2. You know what's on the United Nations building? Inscribed on the United Nations building? What I'm getting ready to read you is inscribed on the United Nations building. They put the wrong passage up there. They should have put Joel chapter 3 up there, because that's what they do. They say, no, Israel, no, you only get this, divide the land for gain. You only get this, and these guys who call themselves Palestinians who never were a nation, we're going to call them a nation. We're going to let them live next door so they can keep blowing you up. But we're going to have peace treaties so they can live next door and keep blowing you up. But it's peace. You know what it is? It's insanity. And it is a failure to believe what God said. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. It shall come to pass in the last days, we haven't got there yet, but we're approaching, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of whom? Not Allah, the Lord. To the house of the God of whom? Not Esau. And He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of where? Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord. From which city? Jerusalem. And He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall, reverse order now, beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The only one who can solve this problem is Jesus Christ. Period, end of story. No need to check the headlines. You want to know what's coming next? You just read it. You know more than they do, because they can only tell you what they want you to believe. What's happening, you will know how it's going to turn out. Remarkable book. Father, we ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us to be continually faithful to the words that You have shown us in Your Scripture and understanding about the events going on around us, so we never fall for their delusion, but always stand with You in truth. For we ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.